Chapter 40. Making a few inquiries here, but too impatient to pursue his investigation carefully and inductively, he went into the town. At the expiration of another half hour, he had visited 7 hotels and inns, large and small, asking the same questions at each, and always receiving the same reply. Nobody of that name, or answering to that description, had been there. A boy from the telegraph office had called, asking for the same persons, if they recollected rightly. He reflected a while, struck again by a painful thought, that they might possibly have decided to cross the channel by the night boat. Then he hastened off to another quarter of the town, to pursue his inquiries among hotels of the more old-fashioned and quiet class. His stained and weary appearance obtained for him, but a modicum of civility, wherever he went, which made his task yet more difficult. He called at 3 several houses in this neighborhood, with the same result as before. He entered the door of the 4th house, whilst the clock of the nearest church was striking 8. "Have a tall gentleman named Manston, and a young wife arrived here this evening?" he asked again, in words which had grown odd to his ears from very familiarity. "A new married couple, did you say? They are, though I didn't say so. They have taken a sitting room and bedroom, number 13. Are they indoors? I don't know. Eliza. Yes, M apostrophe M. See, if number 13 is in, that gentleman and his wife. Yes, M apostrophe M. Has any telegram come for them? Said Edward, when the maid had gone on her errand. No, nothing that I know of. Somebody did come and ask if a Mr. and Mrs. Masters, or some such name, were here this evening, said another voice from the back of the bar parlor. And did they get the message? Of course they did not. They were not here. They didn't come till half an hour after that. The man who made inquiries left no message. I told them when they came that they, or a name something like theirs, had been asked for, but they didn't seem to understand why it should be, and so the matter dropped. The chambermaid came back. The gentleman is not in, but the lady is. Who shall I say? Nobody, said Edward. For it now became necessary to reflect upon his method of proceeding. His object in finding their whereabouts, apart from the wish to assist Owen, had been to see Manston, ask him flatly for an explanation, and confirm the request of the message in the presence of Cytherea, so as to prevent the possibility of the steward's palming off a story upon Cytherea, or eluding her brother when he came. But here were two important modifications of the expected condition of affairs. The telegram had not been received, and Cytherea was in the house alone. He hesitated as to the propriety of intruding upon her in Manston's absence. Besides, the women at the bottom of the stairs would see him. His intrusion would seem odd, and Manston might return at any moment. He certainly might call, and wait for Manston with the accusation upon his tongue, as he had intended. But it was a doubtful course. That idea had been based upon the assumption that Cytherea was not married. If the first wife were really dead after all, and he felt sick at the thought, Cytherea as the steward's wife might in after years perhaps at once be subjected to indignity and cruelty on account of an old lover's interference now. Yes, perhaps the announcement would come most properly and safely for her from her brother Owen, the time of whose arrival had almost expired. But, on turning round, he saw that the staircase and passage were quite deserted. He and his errand had as completely died from the minds of the attendants as if they had never been. There was absolutely nothing between him and Cytherea's presence. Reason was powerless now. He must see her right or wrong, fair or unfair to Manston, offensive to her brother or no. His lips must be the first to tell the alarming story to her, who loved her as he. He went back lightly through the hall, up the stairs, two at a time, and followed the corridor till he came to the door numbered 13. He knocked softly. Nobody answered. There was no time to lose, if he would speak to Cytherea before Manston came. He turned the handle of the door and looked in. The lamp on the table burned low, and showed writing materials open beside it. The chief light came from the fire, the direct rays of which were obscured by a sweet familiar outline of head and shoulders still as precious to him as ever. 7. A quarter past 8 o'clock p.m. There is an attitude approximatively called pensive in which the soul of a human being, and especially of a woman, dominates outwardly and expresses its presence so strongly that the intangible essence seems more apparent than the body itself. This was Cytherea's expression now. What old days and sunny eves at Budmouth Bay was she picturing? Her reverie had caused her not to notice his knock. Cytherea. ... he said softly. She let drop her hand, and turned her head, evidently thinking that her visitor could be no other than Manston, yet puzzled at the voice. There was no preface on Springrove's tongue. He forgot his position, hers, that he had come to ask quietly if Manston had other proofs of being a widower, everything, and jumped to a conclusion. You are not his wife, Cytherea, come away, he has a wife living. ... he cried in an agitated whisper. Owen will be here directly. ... she started up, recognized the tidings first, the bearer of them afterwards. Not his wife? Oh, what is it, what, who is living? ... she awoke by degrees. What must I do? Edward, it is you. Why did you come? Where is Owen? ... what has Manston shown you in proof of the death of his other wife? Tell me quick. ... nothing, we have never spoken of the subject. Where is my brother Owen? I want him, I want him. ... he is coming by and by. Come to the station to meet him, do, ... implored Springrove. If Mr. Manston comes, he will keep you from me. I am nobody, ... he added bitterly, feeling the reproach her words had faintly shadowed forth. ... Mr. Manston is only gone out to post a letter he has just written, ... she said, and without being distinctly cognizant of the action, she wildly looked for her bonnet and cloak, and began putting them on, but in the act of fastening them uttered a spasmodic cry. No, I'll not go out with you, ... she said, flinging the articles down again. Running to the door, she flitted along the passage, and downstairs. Give me a private room, quite private, ... she said breathlessly to someone below. Number 12 is a single room, madam, and unoccupied, ... said some tongue in astonishment. Without waiting for any person to show her into it, Cytherea hurried upstairs again, brushed through the corridor, entered the room specified, and closed the door. Edward heard her sob out, nobody but Owen shall speak to me, nobody. ... he will be here directly, ... said Springrove, close against the panel, and then went towards the stairs. He had seen her, it was enough. He descended, stepped into the street, and hastened to meet Owen at the railway station. As for the poor maiden who had received the news, she knew not what to think. She listened till the echo of Edward's footsteps had died away, then bowed her face upon the bed. Her sudden impulse had been to escape from sight. Her weariness after the unwonted strain, mental and bodily, which had been put upon her by the scenes as he had passed through during the long day, rendered her much more timid and shaken by her position than she would naturally have been. She thought and thought of that single fact which had been told her, that the first Mrs. Manston was still living, till her brain seemed ready to burst its confinement with excess of throbbing. It was only natural that she should, by degrees, be unable to separate the discovery, which was matter of fact, from the suspicion of treachery on her husband's part, which was only matter of inference. And thus there arose, in her, a personal fear of him. Suppose he should come in now and seize me. Apostrophe apostrophe is at first mere frenzied supposition grew by degrees to a definite horror of his presence, and especially of his intense gaze. Thus she raised herself to a heat of excitement, which was none the less real for being vented in no cry of any kind. No, she could not meet Manston's eye alone, she would only see him in her brother's company. Almost delirious with this idea, she ran and locked the door, to prevent all possibility of her intentions being nullified, or a look or word being flung at her by anybody, whilst she knew not what she was. 8. Half past 8 o'clock p.m. Then Cytherea felt her way amid the darkness of the room till she came to the head of the bed, where she searched for the bell rope, and gave it a pull. Her summons was speedily answered by the landlady herself, whose curiosity to know the meaning of these strange proceedings knew no bounds. The landlady attempted to turn the handle of the door. Cytherea kept the door locked. "Please tell Mr. Manston when he comes, that I am ill," apostrophe she said from the inside, "and that I cannot see him." Apostrophe apostrophe, "Certainly I will, madam," apostrophe said the landlady. "Won't you have a fire?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "No, thank you." Apostrophe apostrophe, "Nor a light?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "I don't want one, thank you." Apostrophe apostrophe, "Nor anything?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "Nothing." Apostrophe apostrophe, the landlady withdrew, thinking her visitor half insane. Manston came in about 5 minutes later, and went at once up to the sitting room, fully expecting to find his wife there. He looked round, rang, and was told the word Cytherea had said, that she was too ill to be seen. "She is in number 12 room," apostrophe added the maid. Manston was alarmed, and knocked at the door. "Cytherea, apostrophe, I am unwell, I cannot see you," apostrophe she said. "Are you seriously ill, dearest?" "Surely not." Apostrophe, "No, not seriously." Apostrophe apostrophe, "Let me come in, I will get a doctor." Apostrophe apostrophe, "No, he can't see me either." Apostrophe apostrophe, "She won't open the door, sir, not to nobody at all." Apostrophe apostrophe, said the chambermaid, with wonder-waiting eyes. "Hold your tongue, and be off." Apostrophe apostrophe, said Manston with a snap. The maid vanished. "Come, Cytherea, this is foolish indeed, it is not opening the door. ... I cannot comprehend, what can be the matter with you? Nor can a doctor either, unless he sees you." Apostrophe apostrophe, her voice had trembled more and more at each answer she gave, but nothing could induce her to come out and confront him. Hating scenes, Manston went back to the sitting room, greatly irritated and perplexed. And there Cytherea from the adjoining room could hear him pacing up and down. She thought, "Suppose he insists upon seeing me, he probably may and will burst open the door." Apostrophe apostrophe, this notion increased, and she sank into a corner in a half-somnolent state, but with ears alive to the slightest sound. Reason could not overthrow the delirious fancy that outside her door stood Manston, and all the people in the hotel, waiting to laugh her to scorn. 9. Half past 8 to 11 p.m. In the meantime, Springrove was pacing up and down the arrival platform of the railway station. Half past 8 o'clock, the time at which Owen's train was due, had come, and passed, but no train appeared. "When will the 8:30 train be in?" Apostrophe apostrophe, he asked of a man who was sweeping the mud from the steps. "She is not expected yet this hour." Apostrophe apostrophe, "How is that?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "Christmas time, you see, 'tis always so. People are running about to see their friends. The trains have been like it ever since Christmas Eve, and will be for another week yet." Apostrophe apostrophe, Edward again went on walking and waiting under the draughty roof. He found it utterly impossible to leave the spot. His mind was so intent upon the importance of meeting with Owen, and informing him of Cytherea's whereabouts, that he could not, but fancy Owen might leave the station unobserved if he turned his back and become lost to him in the streets of the town. The hour expired. 10 o'clock struck. When will the train be in? Apostrophe said Edward to the telegraph clerk. In 5:30. She's now at 50. They have extra passengers, and the rails are bad today. Apostrophe, apostrophe, at last, at 11:15, the train came in. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.